likes to play password? Oh, okay, she does. Stand up. If you get this correct, you get $2. But you only have one try. Are you ready? No. No. There's no helping in this. Are you ready? All right. For $2. True prophet. Beep! Sit down.
What about the question?
Password. Did you ever watch Password? True prophet. Thank you. Sit down. Next. Who said that? Who raised their hand over here? For $2. True prophet. Nope. Stand up. True prophet.
False prophet.
Thank you. Very good. Woo. Man, I was just almost envisioning sitting here till 10:15 this morning going, true prophet. Very good. Good morning. How are you folks doing? Two seats right over here. We saved them. You folks have been here before, right? That's what I thought. It's always good to have you folks. So far, the only thing you've missed is true prophet, false prophet. Now you're up to date. Okay.
I was here and I missed it too.
I'm personally too kind to say anything. That's good. Okay. We're going to spend the entire quarter, this quarter, speaking on the prophetic gift, prophets, what they're supposed to do, not do. So today, I want to talk a little bit about if you have true prophets, which we do, then is it obvious that we're going to have false prophets?
Yes.
Certainly. Because anything that God does that is good, Satan is going to counterfeit as many times as possibly that he can. So, this morning we're going to kind of scatter shoot around a little bit. But I do want to look at how do we know if a person is a true prophet versus how do we know if, quote, they are a false prophet. So, let's dwell on the positive, true prophet. So if you're looking for a true prophet, name me some characteristics that you would look for.
Whether their message comes true.
Pardon?
If they're predicting something, whether it comes true or not.
Okay, so if they predict something, comes true. 100% of the time?
Yes. A true prophet is yes.
Okay, so a true prophet never makes a mistake.
Yes.
Oh, God. Now see, this is where we get confused right off the bat. We've got yeses and nos. Okay, let's hold that thought. Predictions come true. Yes, what's another characteristic?
God appointed, not self-appointed.
God appointed, not self-appointed.
Okay. Agrees with Scripture.
Agrees with Scripture 100% of the time. God, yes, I like somebody's not afraid to say yes. Yes?
It's exactly the same.
100% of the time?
With a scripture, absolutely, yeah.
Okay. That's good. What other characteristics?
You have to watch who they give credit to.
Who they give credit to. Why is that important?
Because if they give credit to God, then more than likely their message is from there.
Okay.
They look at themselves.
Okay. So we're looking at a difference between kind of what's the motivation? Is it God or is it to glorify themselves? I like that. I like all of the answers. Yes.
I think that a lot of prophets today are giving credit to God, but it's not all, you know, not to contradict so much what he's saying, but I hear a lot of preachers out there preaching, you know, giving glory to God, but you know, their lifestyle doesn't dictate what they're saying, you know. The Bible says that if there's no light, if they don't preach according to this word, according to the word of God, there's no light in them.
Okay. All right. I agree. So you're saying two things, actually. You're saying, number one, they have to preach to the word of God or there is no light. And number two,
according to the word.
According to the word. And number two is that it's easy to say some things, but what your life does belies sometimes what you say.
Right.
Okay, so there's two things. Okay, very fine. What other? Yes?
A direct consequence of their message has to be a deep relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the audience will be led into a deeper relationship with the Lord through His Word.
Okay, 100% of the time?
Absolutely, it has to be. Well, I mean, the responder, of course, can take one way or the other, but I mean, the core message would be inviting people to come into a closer relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. All right. Very good. Who? What others? How about their personal life? Okay, but what does that mean? I mean, for instance, let's look at health. Are there any fat prophets? A person that's just been here three or four times has already put a knife in my heart again. See, I just thought the Dawsons were vindictive. Perhaps when they worked for me, I didn't treat them right or something, you know, but man. Okay. What about their personal life?
I think their personal life needs to be in conjunction according to the scriptures, but they are human beings. For example, Abraham, who is known as...
Hold that. We're coming right to Abraham. That's where I'm starting. That's where I'm starting the lesson. Very good. You're right on track. That's where we're starting.
God picks imperfect people.
Pardon?
God picks imperfect people. None of His prophets were perfect.
Okay.
They all had faulty, had made mistakes.
Okay.
And they were led by God, and they listened to God. That's when the truth came out.
Okay. That's... We're going to look at some prophets today and see. Now, if somebody walked in here and said they were a prophet, and by that way, as I mentioned last week, that happens in our denomination all the time, correct? Many, many times. What five questions would you ask them? Number one, what is your message? Okay. I think that's a very fair question. What's another question you'd ask them? Who sent you? Very good, good question. That's two good questions. What's number three? Why were you sent? What's your message? Who sent you and why? Excellent. Who's the message for? Number four. Very good. What's number five question?
What's the message?
Have that one. Wrong with that question. Now, I won't put him on the spot. Which answer does he do that you immediately know he's not a prophet? Yeah.
I want to know how does he or she know they are a prophet?
Okay, that's good. Yeah. All right, let's look at some prophets and see if we can tie this up by 10:15. If not, I got next week again, so. Right, Rob? All right, let's look at some prophets. Does anybody know who the first prophet in the Bible that was labeled a prophet is? Nope. Abraham. Genesis 20, verse 7 is the first time we have somebody labeled as a prophet. Now, let's look at the time that God said, Abraham is my prophet. Does anybody know the circumstances that that was said under? Nope, it was after that one. Yes. No, not the king of Egypt, but you're on the right track. He had lied.
Abimelech.
Yeah. Now, had Abraham ever been in a situation where he had lied about his relationship with his wife before? Yes. Now, when was that one? Down in Egypt. He goes down there. I guess Miss Sarah must have been a pretty good-looking woman. At least Abraham thought she was. So he goes down to Egypt and he says to Sarah, now look, you're a good-looking woman. These people, if they thought that I was your husband, they might want to take me and kill me. So just tell them that you're my sister. And he reaped some consequences that wasn't very nice. Abraham also wanted to help God along with the promise that his heir would be a child of many nations. And so he finds his little handmaid, Hagar, and has a child with her by the name of Ishmael. He also goes through a situation with his son, Isaac. And now we find him with King Abimelech. Same circumstances as he had been in Egypt. And what does Abraham do? Same thing. He lies. And God has to appear to the king and say, don't do the things you're thinking about. This is his wife and this is my prophet. Now, if we were the church board, is anybody from Kent, Ohio? Good. If we were the church board of Kent, Ohio, and Abraham appeared before us and said, I am a prophet, what would we say? Would we be so kind to say, what is your message? Why your message? Who sent you? Who's the message for? Or would we be the type that would say, Mr. Abraham, explain that situation down in Egypt. And by the way, explain the second situation where you lied again just like you lied the first time. And explain your situation with this woman, Hagar. What would you do with those questions? Is that a fair question?
Yes. I'm sure that's what the Kent board would say.
I'm sure create a lot of doubt.
See?
Yeah, right.
Last week we discussed, would God possibly send another prophet to this world, specifically to our denomination? And if he did, what kind of questions would we ask? Children of Israel, who was the first prophet? Moses. Now let me get this right now. If we're going to look at a prophet's life, Moses went right into the promised land with the children of Israel. Is that correct?
No.
No? Why not? You mean he got mad? Lost his temper? Took glory from God and gave it to himself? I just thought you told me that a prophet does not give glory to himself. He gives it to his heavenly Father. What would the do you mind being the chairman of the board in Kent, Ohio? Okay. What would the board chairman say about that?
Well, I think they would say that with God, you're never supposed to lose your way.
Not if you're a
true prophet.
By the way, Moses have any blood on his hands? Yes.
It's just interesting that in both cases, God referred to them as my friend.
Absolutely.
That wasn't at the end of their life either.
Right. Well, now the first two prophets we know of, Abraham and Moses, they were pretty kind of, quote, for lack of a better word, lousy. So let's go to the women. Surely we got hope with women. Who was the first woman prophetess?
Miriam.
Now surely nothing bad happened to Miriam that the Kent board would have trouble with her being a prophet. Am I correct?
No.
Oh, no? What happened to her?
She talked about her brother who was God's prophet, and the Lord called a meeting for Aaron, Moses, and Miriam to come up and talk to him. Out of the cloud comes Miriam, leprosy. After you reprimand her.
What do you do with a woman before the board who says, I'm a prophetess, and by the way, I have leprosy?
Say, it must not be from God.
Which was a punishment.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, y'all got me confused now. I'm in trouble. Pardon? What do you think of that question? Should we be focusing on the message?
We should, but I think in our human nature, get diverted and focus on the messenger at times.
Okay. Now remember down the road, in case you haven't looked ahead in the quarterly, I'm going to give you a little clue. Obviously, as Seventh-day Adventists, we're going to be talking about the ministry of Ellen White. So now I think it's very important that you keep the things that you are saying in mind that when the time comes that we talk about Seventh-day Adventist and Ellen White, that we use the same criteria that we're using with these prophets also with her. Is that a fair statement?
Amen.
You see, it's easy to set and say, this is right, 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 and then take problems and put them in under the table and hope that they never arise. Well, God doesn't do that. Some would deem by their personalities and the way they did their life that the first three prophets that are mentioned wasn't very good. Now we have the ability to look at the end result and say, my, they were a prophet. But if someone arises today and says, I am a prophet, and there are some credence, we will not have the benefit of looking at the end result because we have to make decisions today. And if there are true prophets, and there certainly are, and there's false prophets, then we must get past some of the things that we say, which is just nice rhetoric. We mean well, and we must get a little bit deeper because I believe with all my heart that we are going to have some major choices in our future about people who stand before us in our denomination and say, I am sent from God and here is my message.
Absolutely.
And so we can't say, well, let's look at a broad view. I'm telling you, in some circumstances, Mr. Abraham or Mr. Moses, under the current deal, would have some problems. Now, I'm going to look at a life of story that John Perriman and I 30 years ago, 35 years, a long time ago. John and I used to meet on Friday nights. Sabbath mornings before Sabbath school, and we would go through many, many things that we were just interested in studying together. And one of the stories that I remember coming across that's always kind of fascinated me is the story of a prophet in 1 Kings 13. So have 1 Kings 13 and I think have a verse 11. I hope I'm right. I like to be right at least 50% of the time. Very fascinating story. The children of Israel had split into two camps. We have 10 tribes that are northern Israel and the two southern tribes who became known as Judah. Jeroboam becomes a king of the northern tribes. And he has a wonderful opportunity, had served in the court of Solomon, a wonderful opportunity to get the 10 tribes off to a good start in worshiping and following God. But Jeroboam was a politician, and so he looked around and he began to incorporate, trying to be everything to everybody, tried to incorporate idolatry and building altars for other gods than Jehovah. And so God sends a prophet to him to say, you're on the wrong track. And so God sends the prophet and he says to him, when you are through, do not eat, do not drink water, do not spend the night, and do not go home the same way that you went. Got the picture? Deliver your message. Do not stay and eat. Do not stay and drink water. Do not stay and spend the night. And do not go home the same way that you went. So the prophet gets there. He delivers his message. And his message was basically, paraphrasing, God is displeased with what the path you're leading the children of Israel. And so he's going to give you a sign. All these altars, this altar right here that you're about to begin to burn incense with, he's going to split the altar in half to give you a sign of his power and give you a sign so that you know that this is not the way to go. God does that. And so as the altar begins to split and there's fire, the king reaches across to kind of stabilize the altar or do something, and his arm then becomes withered. He can't pull it back. Now, if that happened to you, and you have a prophet right there, what would be the natural thing to say? Pardon?
Heal me.
Hey, I think I messed up. So would you say a nice prayer and restore my arm, and that's exactly what the prophet did. Now, if you're a king, could you get much of a better sign than that of who's in control? A guy comes and says, this is going to happen. It happens. You want to prevent Your arm loses everything it's had. You pray and your arm is healed. I would think that's a fairly decent sign. So the king, now he's real happy, says, come and eat, drink, and stay with me. And the old prophet says, can't do that. My God has said, do not eat, do not drink water, do not spend the night, and I've got to go home. And so off he goes in a different direction. Verse 11.
1 Kings 13:11. Yes. Now there was an old man who claimed to be a prophet of the Lord who lived at Bethel. That day his sons came running home and told their father about the man of God from Judah.
All right, now do you have the picture? There's an old man who's a prophet of who? No, a prophet of who? Just says he's a prophet, okay?
Proclaimed
for prophet. And he hears about this wonderful story by his sons. Continue.
They also told him about how the king had invited the prophet to eat with him, but the prophet had turned him down. Their father said, when he left, which way did he go? And his sons told him. Then he said, quick, saddle the donkey for me. So they did, and the old man went after the prophet. He found the man of God sitting under an oak tree and said, are you the prophet from Judah? The man said, I am. The old man said, come home with me and have something to eat before you go back. And the prophet said, I can't, because the Lord told me not to eat with anyone in this place, not even a piece of bread or a drink of water. I'm not to eat or drink anything until I get back home. He also told me not to go back the same way I came. So the old man said, I too am a prophet of the Lord.
Stop right there. Now, do you get the picture? The prophet's done exactly what he's supposed to. He's sitting down eating a veggie burger under a tree, and here comes another man. And he says, come home with me. And he says, I can't. God told me, don't eat. Don't drink water with anybody. Don't spend the night. Go home a different way. This man says, well, come home with me. And he says, I can't. And the man says, well, I'm a prophet of the Lord. And he's instructed me to come and tell you, come home with me. Next verse.
The old man said, I too am a prophet of the Lord. Just a little while ago, an angel said to me, go and find the man of God and bring him back to your house and give him something to eat. He kept repeating this to the man of God, but the old man was lying.
I too am a prophet of the Lord. The angel has appeared to me and he has told me, come home with me. But he lied.
The man of God finally believed him, and without first checking with the Lord, he got up and went with the old man to his house and ate food and drank water. After they had eaten, while they were still sitting at the table, the Lord spoke to the old man and gave him a message for the man from Judah.
Now listen to this. Here we have a true prophet, we have a false prophet, and now we have God talking to who? The false prophet. Tell him what God said.
He stood up and said to the prophet, listen to the word of the Lord. You have not done what the Lord commanded you to do. You ate bread and drank water in this place where he told you not to. If your disobedience goes unpunished, Jeroboam will not take God's message seriously and will think that his sins will go unpunished and that the prophecy you gave him was untrue. Therefore, you will die before you get back home, and your body will not be buried in the tomb of your fathers as you would have wished. After he had plenty to eat and drink, the man of God got up from the table to leave. The old man had a donkey saddle for him and gave it to him as a gift. Then the prophet got on it and rode away. As he was going along the road home, he met a lion which attacked and killed him. His body laid in the road and the lion and the donkey stood quietly beside it. Soon some men came along.
Okay, that's far enough.
Wow.
I just thought you told me. The characteristics of a prophet. How would you judge this prophet in Kent, Ohio church board that claimed he was a true prophet, and the next thing we know, he's disobeyed, he's on the ground, a lion sitting over him?
We'd be relieved.
Yes?
One of the things that's interesting about the story, when we talk about the true prophet who deal with it, and the old prophet who lied, it wasn't necessarily that the old prophet was a false prophet, just like Abraham wasn't a false prophet, just because he lied. You know, and then, so then we look at that story. I always had problems with that story too, but the fact of the matter is that...
That's why the story's there.
He did not go directly to God, who God had...
Why didn't God go to the good prophet and say, oops?
Well, another thing we're judging them on is if their prophecy came true, and sure enough, the false prophet's prophecy came true, right?
Seems like to me, if we have a choice between Prophet A and Prophet B, Prophet B's kind of winning this race. Because he's alive. He did say, God spoke to me.
And he actually did.
The other one's dead, and there's a nice lion. By the way, did you catch, I don't know if we finished that far, we'll run out of time, so did you catch that the lion stood there, did not eat the body? Let me tell you, didn't eat the donkey. That's the tenderness of your Heavenly Father. Because for the lion to devour that body would have been, in the Jewish cycle, the Jewish history, that would have been a tremendous insult. By the way, where'd the donkey come from? And he shows up and his donkey's alive. By the way, do you know where this, quote, false prophet was buried?
Next to the one.
Same grave.
With the one that died.
Mm-hmm. Told his sons, when I die, bury me in that man's grave.
He felt guilty about what he had done.
Which was the true prophet? Which was the false prophet?
It shows God can speak through anybody who wants to.
Right. How do you know which is which? And by the way, I always like show of hands on these questions because there is no right or wrong answer because we don't know the answer. How many think that the first prophet will be in heaven? A few brave souls. How many think the second prophet will be in heaven? A few brave souls. You see, you must know your Heavenly Father, or even the elect can be deceived. It is not clear cut. Sometimes we would like to think that identifying a prophet is very simple. It is not clear cut. God put that story in here for a reason. God put that story in, number one, this all happened because the children of Israel were going down a path that was to the 10 tribes that would lead them to eventually they would be scattered throughout the world and never heard from again. And right from the very beginning, God brings His merciful message to the king that says, you're about to go down a path, don't do it. And I'm telling you, how much stronger of a message could He give than the altar being split, the withered hand being healed, the prophet doing? And then God says, just a minute here. I've got to look at the big picture. Everybody has heard this prophet's witness. Because how else would the sons have run home and said, man, let me tell you what we just heard. We heard about this tremendous miracle. We heard a prophet speak for God. We saw these things. And the man stood up and said, we know, remember one of the things is it's for God's glory or our glory. We know it was for God's glory because the king said, hey, come and stay, come and eat, let me reward you. And the prophet said, even if you give me half your household riches, I can't do that because God has told me to do four things. And then he disobeys. And he loses his life. Don't you think this had to go through the king's mind over and over and over? Let me see. Altar split. Withered hand healed. The guy goes a different way. He's sitting there. Lion den devouring. The lion and the donkey are having a nice conversation by his body, waiting for somebody to come along. Don't you think that this was a mighty message to the king? Both prophets goofed big time. One disobeyed, one lied. Which is the worst? Which is the worst? If God says, do 1, 2, 3, and 4, and you go over here and do different, or if you come and just tell a lie, you tell me which is the worst.
Are there degrees of sin? Are there degrees of lies?
Depends on your definition of sin.
Separation.
Then there's only one sin.
One of them, the second one, was intentionally deceiving the first.
Don't have the insight to know why he did that.
Well,
he did it, yes. But don't know why.
Only God knows your intentions, your motivation.
He certainly was wrong. But I say there's something to him. Could be guilt. Or it could be true remorse. He says, hey, when I die, let me be buried in that man's grave.
But don't, I guess I'm puzzled. It seems that if God talked to the first prophet and told him these four things, if the Lord wanted to change those four things, since the Lord talked to him directly the first time, I would think he would believe the Lord would talk to him again. Not through an individual, but the same way he did the first time.
Good question. Why didn't God speak to him?
He's God.
Oh, okay. Well, does God just... You see, do you tell your children one time, don't play in the freeway? And then they start wandering out in the freeway. You just say, well, I've already told him. What else am I supposed to do?
But at some point, you start letting them ask you the questions.
He sent a... Yes.
But it's almost like when you tell your kid, you know, stay here and I'll come back and pick you up. Well, somebody said, well, I'm a parent like your parent. So he needs to really just wait there. And you can't, you really haven't came back to confirm that. He needs to wait because you told him.
What was the good prophet's problem after they met the old prophet? Well, it said right there in the text. Who did he believe? The old one. Did he go back and check with God?
No.
No. There's the mistake. What does that say about you in prophets? Pardon? Go to God. Go to His book. Don't listen to this person over here. Good prophet or bad prophet? When a good prophet becomes the final authority, what happens? You could be in trouble. That's the danger. The guy says, but I'm a prophet. And that's who he listened to.
Or was he actually a
prophet? No, he was a prophet. He lied about that.
At what point did he become a prophet after he lied? Or?
Since he was a prophet when initially he was a prophet at the beginning of the story.
No, he said that, and in the Bible actually said he lied about being a prophet.
No, he lied about saying, "Come home." You see, the point is, you better rely on the scriptures and your relationship with your Heavenly Father. And then you look at the message. And if you have questions, you go back to the original. Mighty lesson. We are going to have people that appear to our church, our denomination, that are going to claim to be prophets, who are going to claim a message of a different nature, who are going to claim a lot of things. But, as the question I asked last week, could it be that God would send another true prophet to our denomination? Who said absolutely? Explain.
I mean, as our situations change, as our as we get more and more into monetary things in life, and the United States, the world changes, we have new messages to bring us back to the baseline again. And I feel strongly that God keeps trying through people to bring it back.
Okay. Yes.
You know, several things seem very obvious. One of the things that you're saying is that God will never violate the principles of His character, and God will never violate what He has said before. And it's interesting, as you go through Scripture, not one prophet said one thing new.
Just keep bringing us back.
Calling us back.
That's right.
Calling us back to what God has told us about what He's like. And so we see the work of a prophet. You know, I heard about foretelling. The actual fact is a prophet is a foreteller.
Yes.
Not a foreteller. Mm-hmm. And when we start looking at this, you know, if he tells the future, mm-hmm. well, if that's one of our criteria, we're in trouble.
Yeah. Exactly right. See, that's what we think we're looking for. Remember, I started the lesson off by saying that Christ came to this earth not to give, I'll paraphrase from Rob's way he mentioned, not to give new light, but simply retell the story of the Old Testament.
Amen.
We would like to think, and most of the Christian world says, well, there was a new gospel, a new covenant, a new light. It was nothing new. Last night we very quickly, I'll go over the story of Hagar. Hagar goes out the first time. She's thrown out of the camp by Sarah. She's all alone. She's hurting. She's crying. And the angel of the Lord says, "Why are you out here?" She says, "I've been thrown out. Nobody cares." And he says, "I care. You're going to have a son. His name's going to be called Ishmael. And the name of Ishmael means God hears." And then she named that place Bethel Roy. Roy means the God who sees me. And what was Jesus' first venture into the missionary world? Was a Samaritan woman who was an outcast, who had nothing to do. Yes?
I don't think that talks right.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Excuse me.
I'll recuperate.
James, buy us a new clock.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so thankful. I wish somebody would have said something. Father in heaven, we're so thankful for your love and who you are. Most of all, even though this picture ended up murky, we know one factor. You care. You will send whatever you need to send. If it's a prophet, a messenger, or the stones to cry out, you will send to us the right information to accept you as our Savior. Thank you. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.